Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
Hey everyone, welcome to That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our new set. It's incremental changes here at The Riot because the owners refuse to pony up any cash, Judo Larry.
Look at this wonderful set we have here. You can see money spent. Godzilla. I would like to show my stepfather this.
But anyway, yeah, so That Riot Show, we're here to talk about the latest goings on of the week, hopefully in an informative and, if possible, humorous manner. Along those lines, it's time for our favorite part of the show, Larry.
Which is pimping.
Pimping. All right. Visit us, of course, at That Riot Show, thatriotshow.com for all your riotous needs. Also, you can find us on facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. That's where you find the genteel social media users, right on Facebook. So join us there, leave a comment, keep up on my latest thoughts. And then, of course, if you dare to fly with the Eagles, even after you fucked with them, go to twitter.com/thatriotshow, twitter.com/thatriotshow. Where, if you were following this past week, you would have seen Big Fat John take on an even fatter feminist. Yes. Who insists that the nonsense in college of professors having to provide trigger warnings is a legitimate disease of some sort.
It's a disease?
Yeah. In other words, I called it meaningless bullshit.
Right.
And it leads to nothing but a generation of entitled twats too genteel to deal with the harsh realities of life. Apparently, this set off this overweight feminist who found it necessary. Her greatest comeback, Judo Larry M, when I said that it was a non-existent disease, non-existent condition, she said, "You mean like libertarianism?"
Wow, that's clever.
Yes, and all her little wannabe white knights who think by defending her she's going to blow them while sucking on like a Twinkie or something. It doesn't work that way, fellas. She still hates all men.
Libertarianism, oh, that's nice.
You know what I'm saying?
You should have asked her to define it.
Oh no, that would have been too much. Her head would have exploded. But yeah, so if you want to follow Big Fat John's rants and raves and my clashes with
amazing.
Go to twitter.com.
It's amazing to me that you put up with these people. Because I can't do this. Like John's asking me, Larry, why don't you... Judo, why don't you go on Twitter? Yeah. Like, I can't do it. Why don't you go on Twitter? Look at what these... Like, not only do I have to read their stupid comments, but I got to respond to all these people. And you just have to really just love the back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, there was actually a time when I lived... for just arguing. I have to admit, by the time I got to about 30, that became really tired. And I was like, well, I'm not getting anywhere. Like, I'm not convincing them, they're not convincing me.
But that's because you're single. When you've been married for 25 years like me, all I have left is arguing with idiots.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. Sex is gone.
Yep.
Any sort of enjoyment in life, gone.
So what you're saying is I made the right choice by
not
saying right.
Yes.
Because sex is not gone for me.
Yes, Larry still has a life. He has something to look forward to.
Yeah. Going to Vegas. Going to Vegas in October. Come visit me.
Well, that's good. Invite everybody out there who watches this to find you in Vegas.
Find me in Vegas. But I'm not going to tell you what month.
There you go. All right. So a couple of things we could talk about. Oh, yeah. And by the way, if you listen to the podcast, here's the scroll. Scroll, 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 scroll. Where you can find us, go to iTunes, go to Podomatic, go to Spreaker, go to SoundCloud, go to YouTube. You'll find us everywhere. Great podcasts can be heard. All right. I guess the big news of the week which isn't big news to people who have been following her career, but Larry, Hillary Clinton. Now, we've been saying for weeks and years, actually, this woman is a cunt. And that's the nicest thing I could say about her. Let's face it, Larry, she's a liar. She has absolutely no set of guiding principles other than to get elected.
Yeah. She's dying to get elected.
And she wants to be the first female president. Like, you could, it's her life's passion, which, yeah. I guess it's always good to have goals, but she is quite possibly one of the dirtiest politicians ever. And when you look at her, you know, the whole thing, like, by the way, this with her being single-mindedly ridiculous, Larry, goes back to when she was like a 20-year-old. When she was on the Watergate Investigative Committee,
right.
And a Democratic congressman had to fire her.
Right.
This is like, look it up.
Yeah.
Had to fire her because she was unethical in her pursuit of Republicans during Watergate. Think of that statement, Larry.
Yeah.
She was too unethical compared to the Republicans involved in Watergate.
Right.
Nixon
better than her. We're cleaner, technically. No,
G. Gordon Liddy was better than her, in essence. But then also, forget what happened in Arkansas, but even when she became First Lady, you would hear everything that happened up at what happened to Vince Foster. Hey, everybody who's a millennial, go to Wikipedia and look up who Vince Foster was and how he managed to disappear off the face of the earth.
Well, they already died. They found him in a park like this.
That's what I found.
And,
yes.
Of course, my favorite part about that is they had something like 20 private investigators came and looked at the scene where he was, and only one of them said, yeah, this looks like a suicide. Now, I mean, it may have nothing to do with the Clintons, but it's just hilarious that this guy, and I remember this at the time, Vince Foster not thought of as like depressed or sad or like nobody said anything about it, and then all of a sudden he just emerged.
He was just a pain in the ass for the Clintons is what it came down to. Yeah. And when you look at some of her other dealings, like
the commodities
market that she was involved in,
she put $1,000,
turned it into $100,000
in like 6 months.
Particularly insidious in the commodities market because unlike the stock market where you can literally have no losers, you can have no losers in the stock market. Like if you cheat the market the right way, everybody can end up a winner. In the commodities market, if you make $100,000, it means somebody else lost $100,000.
Right. That's a balance.
It's a zero-sum game in the commodities market. Right. And so she basically screwed people over for $100,000, allegedly.
Put allegedly out there.
Yes.
Now, here's the other thing. Now, fast forward to today.
Yes.
I'm watching, yesterday, I'm watching Morning Joe.
Ah, just I heard about this.
You know, I click back and forth between this and Fox and Friends.
It's because he thinks Mika is hot and wants to lick her asshole.
No, it's because I think Joe Scarborough is hot.
Very good.
Lick his ass. But he was actually not on the show.
Yeah.
And she's running the table.
Oh,
now, this is, you know, this is a mannequin, so okay. But this is the debate. They had Howard Dean on.
Yes.
And crazy defense of the Clintons.
Of
just
course.
Wouldn't give a point. Wouldn't give,
right.
The whole thing is a witch hunt.
Right.
Email thing, bullshit.
Right.
Benghazi, not her fault. You had to see him to the point where, now he's sitting at this table with all these liberals,
yes.
Willie Geist and Mika. Even she went, at the end she goes, you're so partisan. She goes, geez, you won't give an inch on anything. He goes, that's right, it's like the Patriots and the Jets. I just won't give you an inch. Now I guess he's a Patriot guy.
Yeah.
But then, later after he left in the conversation, even Mika Brzezinski went like this. She goes, her problem, Hillary Clinton, is that she comes across as so unauthentic.
Yeah.
And she's just so disingenuous, and like just it adds to the level that you can't trust her because she just doesn't seem honest.
Well, it's one of
And look who's saying it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that how much can she expect us to believe, right? So her campaign immediately started spinning things, you know, like she's a great mom and this and that, and it's like it's the nonsense, right? Because
great grandmother.
Right. When she was running for president last time against Barack Obama, She was quoted as saying, "Well, I'm not one of those women who stays around the house and bakes cookies."
No. That was before. That was in '92.
I apologize.
When her husband was running the first time,
And
I remember she was wearing this ridiculous, ugly green outfit,
pantsuit.
And she said, "Well, I could have stayed at home cooking, making tea and biscuits, but I decided to do something with my life. That was replayed.
And clearly, this is a woman who has no maternal instinct, who really is only goes to bed every night and curses the god in nature that did not give her a penis.
Right.
Or at least one naturally. I'm sure she straps one.
But also, it drives her... Allegedly. But it also drives her crazy that she has to go through this process.
Yes.
Because you can see that her entire attitude is like, just make me president.
Right.
Let me have the job. I can do the job. I'll be the first woman president. Just give it to me. You can see it's driving her nuts. And I mentioned this before. The other thing, you know, if you read the book Game Change... There's that whole section, I encourage everybody to go read it, about how much she hated being in Iowa. And they did that whole thing. The guys writing the book are both liberals. And they put this. She complained that they have motels, not hotels. She complained about the cheesy restaurants and chains and not having like real restaurants to go to. And they did like a whole breakdown. I mean, like, not everywhere's New York City, honey.
And I heard also that she was very disappointed in the volume of carpet munchers in Iowa.
Allegedly. And the in-room porn.
But
she is like, I can just tell that this whole thing is driving her crazy. And of course, the other problem she has, the email thing is coming
out. The email thing to me now should be the coffin in her grave. Whether or not the Democrats allow it to be is a different issue. But here's the thing.
The FBI is looking into it.
The FBI, on a random sampling, now, you have to understand the mathematics behind random sampling. It means they just took what they thought to be a representative view of her emails.
Right.
So they picked 40, I believe. 40. 40 out of all those hundreds of thousands that go through her server.
Right.
And of those 40, they found 4 classified emails that should have never been on a personal server.
Right.
Ever. Okay? Right. So think about that. On a random sampling, 10% of the emails were classified. That were top secret, that needed to be on secure servers in secure rooms, the whole nine yards, displayed on secure devices, yada, yada, yada.
Stuff that you're only supposed to look at in the situation room.
Right. Now think about it. That was on her personal server. Then the server itself has been scrubbed clean.
Yeah.
Okay? Meaning that someone realized this is a smoking gun, much like Watergate, and erased it. This is exactly what fucked Nixon over.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. In 1974, when he just said, oh, I don't like what's on the tape here. Let me just erase it.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what Hillary Clinton has done. She thought she was above the law by keeping these emails. I'm not claiming she's a treasonous or anything like that. But clearly, she needed to look at emails outside of the purview of government watchdogs.
Right.
That's the only reason you would set up an email server of your own, okay? It wasn't for her campaign.
No.
It wasn't for anything like that. It was while she was Secretary of State. She clearly wanted emails that she didn't want the rest of government, the rest of Washington, reading.
And let's face it, she thinks she's above the law.
Absolutely.
And that she would get into no trouble whatsoever, and she'd get away with it. Plus, the I forget which channel, but one of the news outlets the other day was reporting, they got some guy from New Jersey who came and scrubbed all their shit.
And
removed it. I forgot his name, but... They've done their best to delete like the entire history of like everything.
And so you can't even claim that it was some sort of accident, because you don't accidentally set up a server to hide emails. It's not an accident. Yeah. It's not like she sent a classified communique to the wrong address or something by accident. She set up a device. And if anybody's ever been like me and had to set up email servers, you don't accidentally like turn on a button. Oh my God, I've got an email server. You have to go through a lot of trouble to set it up, okay? And the fact that it's been scrubbed means that they're aware something was wrong.
Right, they're trying to
clean it. Let me also point something out. There's a fucking 5-star general who did time for the same shit about a year ago, Petraeus.
Yeah.
Right? Because basically what it came down to was that his girlfriend saw classified material.
Right.
The hoe that his side bitch got to see all
that.
And guess what? He should go to jail for that. And I know he cut a deal... He wasn't there long or whatever.
Yeah.
But think about it. A 5-star general that up until that point everyone had universally loved. I think Petraeus was one of those guys that everybody liked.
Yeah, he had a real bipartisan support.
Yeah, he had support until he did this. And then have you heard from Petraeus? Did you? Nothing. He's gone from the planet, basically.
And it's terrible with these people. And they all think they're above the law.
Yeah, and this bitch thinks she wants to be president after all this, Larry?
Nah. Now, but she has more problems now. So she's still denying that she did anything wrong.
Of course.
She's bragging about the fact that she released 55,000 pages of stuff. I guarantee that's like the only 55,000 that has like nothing on it. And just like,
well, yeah, she released a volume of mail that has to do with her saying to Chelsea, like, how you feeling, how you doing, hi, mom, and all that shit.
Yeah, how's your wedding plans going?
Yeah, or, you know.
But she has the other problem now, which everybody's caught on to, which is, look, because she's the front runner, and because of where she is in this, look, whatever popularity, whatever support she had when she first starts, everybody knows she's running. So she's running, okay. So when she starts out, let's say she has 57% support, whatever it was at first, nationwide, that's as high as it's going to be. You understand? She's getting, everybody already knows who she is. She's not new. She's not like Lincoln Chafee that nobody knows who
she
is.
She can only go down.
She can only go down, exactly. Things can only get worse for her. And now, Bernie Sanders is ahead of her in Iowa, 47% to 39% among Democrats in Iowa.
And honestly, I don't know what's more
New Hampshire.
I don't know what's more fucking disturbing. The fact that some deceiving, lying cunt is trying to become president, or that you have a cunt of a socialist who's beating her.
Yeah.
I saw something from Bernie Sanders today that boggles the mind. He ponders out loud, I don't understand how car loans, Americans can get car loans at 2%, but we make our students get car loans, student loans at 5, 6, 7%. I don't understand that. Asshole. If you want to be president, you have to understand basic economics. Like, car loans are secured loans. Car loans usually go to people who have an established credit history. Asshole, teenagers swilling beer between the ages of 18 and 21 when they go to college are not good financial risks.
Right.
And if you didn't have the fucking government involved, those 5, 6, 7% loans, student loans, would be more like 10, 15, 20%, which is probably where the actuarial tables say they should be.
Right.
So if you're a fucking socialist, of course this makes no sense to you.
Right.
Because basic math is something that is beyond the grasp of any fucking socialist.
And what's the answer for all this?
Capitalism.
No, the answer is to raise taxes on the rich.
Yes,
to pay. And just get them to pay for it.
Right. Because obviously, Greece, Portugal, Spain, Ireland, and every other fucking country that's been dabbling in socialism is failing miserably. What countries are not failing miserably? The fucking Germans, who are anything but in their economic policy.
India.
The Brits, the U.S., Japan.
India and China are experiencing at least positive growth.
Listen, from socialism is a failed economic system.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. There is no one who can ever prove to me that it works, okay? You can't give away shit for free. I've heard Elizabeth Warren say this. College should be free. There's no such thing as free.
No.
Well, it's free in Sweden. No, it's not free in Sweden.
No, it's not free.
Sweden has a 65% tax rate.
Right.
That's why it's quote-unquote free.
And when I was there the last time, the debate in the Swedish parliament or whatever they call it was whether to raise it to 75%.
Right.
And you realize, like, even in countries, look, those Mediterranean countries that are all struggling, even countries that are on reasonably good footing, like France, they elected Holland as the president. He ran on, I'm going to raise the top tax rate from 65% to 75%. Right now, his popularity in France is about 19, 20%. The economy has gone nowhere. It's totally stagnant.
Yeah.
Unemployment has creeped up. Nothing positive. They're not making anything.
Right.
They're not doing it. And they're, you know, they're rich people.
Yeah.
They've all moved out of the country.
Yeah.
It's an absolute mess. It's to the point where Marie Le Pen, who's in the National Front, has 25% support nationwide. She's now officially the most popular politician in France.
When you look,
socialism is doing nothing for
them. So by socialism, please don't be some asshole who starts sending me definitions of socialism. I know what socialism is a lot better than any of you. Here's the difference, okay? Socialism, communism, statism, democratic socialism, call it whatever the fuck you want. At the underlying core of all these policies and systems is that government coerces people to collect their taxes and redistributes the wealth while taking a healthy cut for itself. That, at the end of the day, that is every socialist nightmare, okay? Now you say, well,
that's their dream.
Yeah, well, you say, John, doesn't the U.S. to collect taxes? Yes, it's not like this is ideal. But it, the degree to which you steal people's money does make a difference, okay? Right. In the U.S., the average worker who adds economic value, that's defined as people who don't work for the government, okay? Because when you work for the government, you get paid from people's taxes, which has to be absconded with from people who work outside the government. Okay, so you don't count like firemen, policemen, like the 20,000 people who work at the Department of Education, by the way, all making trouble and not adding to education or anything. They're just, they're fucking lazy assholes. We should just get rid of the Department of Education and just get it done with. But anyway, the point being that in the United States, each productive worker has to support about 1.5 to 2 other people.
Right.
Right? Meaning that if I work, I'm paying for my family, but then I'm supporting somebody else who's on the government dole.
Right.
Okay.
Plus the stats that, based on what you're paying in taxes, no matter what your is, January, February, March, April, and like into May now, everything that you make is just going to the government.
And at the very least.
Taxes, at the very least.
Yeah, guys like me are working till June to pay off their government debt. No. Okay. But the U.S., believe it or not, has one of the better records like that. We're one of the better countries in each productive person having to support pieces of shit that are too lazy to work. Greece, which obviously is the biggest example of this shit failing, each person outside of his own family, each productive worker, has to support just over six other people. Think about how staggeringly, what an anchor that is around the economy. That every productive person,
an albatross on the people who are actually producing.
And then what are you going to do? Get the six people who are used to living off the dole all of a sudden to become ambitious and get jobs and be entrepreneurs?
Yeah, in fact,
when
you talk about like austerity or tightening your belt or having to get back to work, they freak out and they take to the street. Now they're motivated. Now they actually have an ambition to go out and protest and complain and call people names and blame the Germans.
Yeah. The logic Greeks were famous for is fucking sunk to the bottom of the Aegean. Because after years of socialism that got them to this point, their solution was to go communist.
Yeah.
Right? So even the one person who's now supporting six gets to fall under the oppressive rule of government.
And I wasn't kidding about the blaming the Germans.
Oh, of course.
He blamed Germany for like what they did to them like during World War II. So all the money that they've gotten now in bailouts, which has come primarily from Germany.
Right, they view it as
okay. They view it, hey, you're just making up to us for like some whatever you did to us. Well, they talk like they're the Jews.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the funny part. Somebody did an analysis. So supposedly Germany did owe Greece some money at the end of World War II?
Yes.
As reparations, but which they never paid, which is true. But what they failed to realize is since World War II, when Germany became an economic powerhouse, like what, 5 years after World War II, they were back on their feet.
They're already back up.
They were subsidizing Greek companies in bailouts at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
So somebody calculated that not only have they repaid everything they owed the Greeks, they've given them billions of dollars on top of it.
Right.
Okay, so, but anyway, that's the mentality of a socialist. You owe me. I'm entitled. Someone has to give me and provide for me, Larry.
And being a freeloader.
And being a freeloader, basically, okay? And that's why it fails, because eventually people get tired. Sweden, the glowing model for every fucking Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren in this country. Look at Sweden. Free healthcare, free college education, blondes with big tits. Boy, this country is something to aspire to. And I would agree with the aspiring to the blondes with big tits.
I've been there twice. That part is true.
This.
I have been to Stockholm twice.
But here's the problem.
Yeah.
Like we said, it's a small country, about 9 million people.
Yeah.
So all of Sweden is the equivalent of New York City.
Yeah.
Okay? Everybody there is the same thing. They're all blondes with big tits in Sweden. They're all the same religion. They're all the same ethnic background. They all have the same sort of Nordic, almost autistic mentality to them. Okay? That's what it is in Sweden. They're all the same. So a socialist government has more of a chance of succeeding there. They don't have to deal with diversity. Right. They don't have to deal with different goals culturally and stuff like that.
They have some diversity, but it's very small.
Oh, it's
no, no, but they don't.
No, but I mean, compared to the UK, compared to America, right. Compared to France, Germany or France.
They have one-eighth of their country.
It's essentially a homogeneous society.
Yeah, there's total uniformity. But
and then, you, like you said, tax rate, 65% at a minimum. The government tells you what to do. So you're getting a free education. They tell you what you're going to study.
Yeah.
Okay? We've said it before. It's true. There's a baby naming committee in Sweden.
Yeah.
You have to get approval to name your kid in Sweden. Okay? That's incompatible with the majority of Americans. Okay? We are not cut from that stock where we expect people to tell us what to do. There's assholes here that want to take money from the government. But they don't want the government telling them what to do.
Right. But also over there, the funniest thing, especially with the Europeans, because I've been to a lot of these countries, they want to do this. They want to. I mean, you talk about not being cut from the same cloth. They want it. They want the government to do it. Here's what they want. They really want what we call the nanny state.
Yeah.
They really don't like, okay, you're going to take 70% of my money? Fine. 80%? All right. As long as everything's covered, I'll live on my little pittance that you leave me, and that's fine. But, I mean, as far as like the name, the baby name, not only is that true, you know, the other thing they're pushing over, did I tell you about this? They want to do away with he and she.
Oh, yeah.
We're referring to boys and girls because it's unfair to girls. So they want to use Z, which is just XE for now on, and it's kind of gender neutral. They're pushing that.
Yeah. So there's people who think that the natural evolutionary state of mankind is to become this single gender, indistinguishable, everybody's thinking the same way, lemming, okay? And the question I have is, when did liberals embrace George Orwell's vision of the future? When did they embrace 1984? Seriously, the movie, not the book, not the year, okay? But seriously, I thought liberals stood for free thought. And they stood for critical thinking.
Well, they used to.
They used to. What the fuck are you now? Now you're politically correct.
Yeah.
Lemmings who want to everyone to be exactly the same. Everyone. How is that human? How is that more human? How does that enrich the soul? How does that enrich the individual to be the same as everybody else? The army is the type of unit that does that.
Yeah. And the guilt.
Exactly.
And be constantly having to apologize for everything.
Go fuck yourself. Seriously. Here, fuck you, you cunt. And I'm saying that just because I want to.
Why am I responsible for like what my great-great-great-great-grandfather did?
Ben Affleck wants to feel guilty for his slave-owning relatives. Yeah, that's fine.
There's another wonderful person.
Yeah.
Mr. Upstanding liberal from Hollywood, cheating on his wife, it looks like, allegedly.
Fucking a nanny, allegedly.
Yeah.
Fucking an Armenian nanny, allegedly. They have hairy bushes, I hear.
Yep. In fact, in Armenia, they are not allowed to shave
down there
because if they do, it'll cause the rain to come and all the crops will die.
Yes. And then all the goats will go hungry, and the gypsies will have nothing to eat.
And you'll wind up getting eaten by the Azerbaijanis. I hope he's watching. I really. Sometimes just for ourselves.
Just for ourselves we do this. Yes. But seriously, what happens to the liberals? I ask this question every week. What happened to the liberal mentality? Why is it that you refuse to accept that Bruce Jenner has a mental disorder? That he's not really a woman? Okay? It's okay to say, I can accept that he has a right to live his life with fake tits and a dress. That's his right. But it's not incumbent on everybody else to accept that nonsense.
But even as far as... even as far as their worldview, I think it was the New York Times, they recently printed an article about liberal college professors who said that their students scare them. That they're so intolerant and they don't want to hear any other point of view and they shout people down, they throw shit at people.
Yeah.
This is the college professors are saying that their students scare them because they're so intolerant and they're in such lockstep. And they're all into the apology stuff and making up
whatever the PC version is today.
Yeah, and they don't want to hear anything else. to the point where the college professors are scared of them. That's crazy.
I work with, I would say, young people a lot in my line of work, you know, 24, 25 years old. And a lot of times I'll challenge their belief systems in the course of work just to see how they react. And to me, it's amazing that their worldview and their world experience is so limited, you know? Yeah. It's like they can't accept, for example, that there's economists other than Keynes. And these are economics majors. People with degrees in economics have never heard of Hayek, of Mises, of Friedman, of anybody, of Adam Smith. All they've heard of is a Schumpeter or a Laffer or any of these guys. Yeah. All they've heard of is Keynes, Marx, John Kenneth Galbraith,
and their hero is Krugman,
that fucking asshole
from the Times. Yeah. In fact, Bernie Sanders said that if he gets elected, guess who he's hiring? Yeah. His number one economic advisor, Krugman.
So yet another reason not to vote for Sanders. He thinks that asshole Krugman is correct.
No.
Okay. Krugman is a piece of shit partisan. There's no two ways about it. Okay. And plus, I think he may be dishonest intellectually, personally. Mm-hmm. I think that.
Very possible.
I think he cherry-picks his data. I think he only shows you anything that makes his point. He never shows you anything that deflates his point. So I don't consider him to be an honest economist. But anyway, the point being that we have this entire generation of kids now, Larry, that only know, give me. And look, I'll make fun of Greece all day long because they deserve to be made fun of. America's not too far behind it right now.
If these kids don't grow out of this at some point, the entitlement mentality is eventually going to take over because, you know, I mean, look at states like Washington, Oregon, the whole like Northern California. At this point, somebody was saying the other day, you might as well just call them the socialist states. Like they are just more and more just like Portland, like becoming like crazy bohemian.
And bankrupt.
And just,
And look at California is the perfect example.
They just want shit provided for them.
Of course, and that's and that's the problem. You know, like again, if you want to earn money and collectively share something, go ahead. I don't give a shit about that.
But they just don't want to struggle.
They don't want to struggle. They're so entitled. They give a shot at being millionaires. If they're not millionaires by 25, literally, they want to be taken care of for the rest of their lives.
Right.
Okay. The concept. Yes. You know, that's the whole thing.
They want to be, if they're not rich, like in the next 5 minutes, that it's take care of me.
No sense of proportion.
No. Nope.
You know, it's like we said, when my father emigrated to this country, when your grandfather emigrated to this country, guess what? They knew that it was not their generation that would prosper. It would be the next one that followed. They worked for their kids.
And you sacrifice for your kids.
You sacrifice for your kids. Now, there's no sense of sacrifice in this generation. There might be no sense of sacrifice in the parents' generation, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But right now, these kids are not like, well, I'll work 20 years so that my wife and kid can have a better life and that my kid can achieve more than I can.
Right.
There's no sense of that. It's always a sense of, how can I reach the top? Now, in the 80s, this was a good thing. That was the greed that Gordon Gekko in Wall Street was talking about. But it was an ambition. It wasn't that someone was supposed to hand you success.
Right.
It was, I'll do anything it takes to work to the top.
Right. It was get up off your ass and do it for yourself and make it happen. And then, once you've got this, you can take care of you and yours.
Right.
You can provide for yourself and your family. But
you could retire at 50 because you were a millionaire.
If you even saw the movie, there's that one scene where he's driving around with Charlie Sheen or whatever, and they pass some street here in New York.
Yep.
It's like, I can tell it's Park Avenue. They're driving through Park Avenue. And there's this guy, white guy, standing on the corner, suit and tie, with a nice suitcase. He looks like, you know, $1 million. And there's a guy right next to him eating out of a garbage can.
Right.
And he goes, this guy makes $400,000 a year. He goes, you're going to tell me the only difference between this guy and this guy is just like their ambition? He goes, that's it. He goes, like, they got to get out there. They got to make it happen.
Right,
he goes, the other guy, and then, of course, now he nailed the homeless guy for the guy. Lazy shit. But
that's the whole point. And right now, you have this thing of people owe me. Someone has to help, you know, and it's disgusting and it's never going to work. It can't work. By definition, it can't work. Eventually, like Margaret Thatcher said, you run out of other people's money. That's the inherent virtue of socialism. That's the end game.
How many rich people do they think there are that we can just keep fleecing?
Well, the funny thing is, if you taxed every millionaire at 100%, you would make a dent of less than 1% in the budget, in the federal budget. There just isn't that much money for you to siphon off of people. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then once you siphon them, let's say you soak them at 100%. Let's say you took as much as you could from the rich. How many times could you do that?
Right.
Before they say, fuck it, I'm not going to earn anything anymore.
And it doesn't help when people like Bill Gates and these people go out and say, oh, sure, like raise my tax rates to 50%.
Yeah.
Because they don't fucking care. They're going to be rich afterwards.
Yeah, anyway.
It's the wrong thing to encourage.
Yeah, but if you ask Bill Gates, you know, he wants to give it away. That's fine. By the way, Bill Gates, when he was younger and he first got married, said, I plan on leaving no money to my children. I plan on giving it all to charity and having my children make their own way. That was his initial thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not his saying anymore, because now he's listening to his wife, okay? It's like, that's what it comes down to. That's how society goes forward, okay? We're to do anything differently leads you to, again, this nihilism that says that, oh, we're just living in the moment. Oh, somebody help me. Somebody take care of me. That's what I need. Why shouldn't I get a free education? Because there is no such thing as a free education. Who pays the teachers?
Somebody's
who builds the schools? Who maintains the grounds? Who does all that shit?
Where do they think the money comes from?
But that's the other problem. This is why economics needs to be a core curriculum course, in my opinion. Every student, if you had half a brain, has to take a course in economics. I made a mistake when I was younger. I didn't take economics. I didn't take any business courses because I was a scientist. Every course I took had to do with science. Biggest mistake of my life. I should have taken all economics and business, okay? Because right now, Larry's point is excellent. Kids think that the government produces money.
Yeah.
That money comes from the government.
Yeah, they think it's an endless well that's just being printed up and, oh, you need...
But they don't even think print it up. The government does print dollar bills.
Yeah, but there's no understanding on where it's coming from, how money is collected, and then
it's
spent.
It's always someone else.
So the problem is twofold. You've got that, then the other thing which I actually focus on, which drives me nuts, is the debt. Nobody knows how to handle money anymore. Everybody just gets into debt. I was reading something the other day that the average American, they said now, has $4,400 in debt per person.
Yeah.
Now, I would have thought it was higher.
Yeah.
But they came up with that number, and then they figured out if you paid it off, like all these, and then I'm not going to go into the whole thing, it'll take too long, but they showed how, like, over the months and years, how it just continues to drain from you.
Sure.
And suck out of you, and you have to keep accounting for it every month because you're not paying it off. So you have a debtor mentality and take care of me entitlement all at the same time.
Yeah.
What is that going to leave us with?
And
it proves Mitt Romney's comment from a few years ago that like 47% of the country are like freeloading doing that. Now he might be the wrong person to point that out, but
yeah, but listen, when I was younger, it was considered an embarrassment to work for the government.
Yeah.
You know who worked for the government? When you couldn't get a job anywhere else. That's when you worked for the government. You became a cop. You became a sanitation person. You worked for the post office. You became a teacher. Something. That's when you couldn't do anything else. It was the employer of last resort.
Yeah.
Nobody paraded around saying, I work for the government. Because that was the equivalent of saying, I am a retard. Okay? Now, it's like, I work for the government. What do you do for the government? Well, I sit around from 9 to 5 and do nothing. Then, from 5 to 9, I work overtime to get paid time and a half to do all the work I should have done from 9 to 5.
Well, that ties into what they were talking about a few weeks ago. The Democrats want to pay you for overtime.
Yeah.
But they want to give you, like, time and a half, like, the equivalent of it. And we were talking about, what's to stop somebody from doing absolutely nothing from 9 to 5?
Yeah.
And then working from, like, 5 to 8 or something, just collecting all this extra money. Yeah.
And why are hours 9 through 10 1.5 times more valuable than the first 8 hours of the day?
Yeah, when logically you'll be tired.
Yeah.
You'll be beat. You're already, you're not very motivated if you're not working hard.
But it's nothing but an arbitrary socialist decision.
Right.
Right? First of all, unless you contracted to get paid, if you're an hourly worker, fine. But if you're a professional worker, you don't get paid overtime. I don't get paid overtime if I stay in my office till midnight, because I get paid to get a job done. Hourly workers are incentivized to be lazy. incentivized to be lazy.
Right.
And when it's not a free employment state, I mean, technically it's an at-will employment state, say New York, but in reality it's not. If you ever had to fire somebody in a medium-sized company, you'll know what I mean. You have to make sure that they're not part of a minority group. You have to make sure that their gender isn't being discriminated against. You have to make sure they're not gay, because that could get you in trouble. You have to make sure that, you know...
So basically, as long as you're not a white guy.
If you're a white guy, if you're a straight white man, fuck you. You're out the door. No excuse needed. Yeah. Any other group requires, like, it may take up to a year to fire somebody.
Right.
Unless you commit a felony. Then it only takes 6 months. All right? That's not freedom, that's not a free market, that's not Adam Smith, that's not capitalism, and it's a recipe for disaster, and we're seeing it everywhere right now.
Right.
Everywhere we're seeing it. Where it's just a matter of, hey, the government has some arbitrary rules, let's follow them.
Yeah.
Let's impose this nonsense on people, Larry.
You know what the best way to handle all this with Bernie Sanders and Hillary is? Maybe somebody will hit them and break their jaw. We're not encouraging violence here. I got that idea because a few people from the Black Lives Matter organization ran up to a podium where Bernie Sanders was speaking the other day. It kind of scared him a little bit, but then he let
them
go.
Thank God. I loved it. I loved it. And then some old geezer was trying to say, after Senator Sanders, you can talk. Yeah. After Senator Sanders, you can talk. Fuck you. Let the anarchist speak. Who gives a shit in your world?
I was trying to segue into the lighter topic of football and Geno.
Oh, Geno Smith, sorry.
Punched him in the jaw.
Sorry, I didn't even get it. I got worked up. Yes, Big Fat John sporting his FantasySharks.com shirt today, by the way.
And I'm wearing hockey.
If you're into fantasy football, catch my columns on FantasySharks.com. Just go there. You can search for my name. Find all the latest things about drafting. Because Big Fat John, in addition to being worked up about politics, news, and everything else, is a professional sports writer. Yes, thank you, Larry.
Well, I'm going to actually
award winner.
This man has won awards, so
yes, thank you.
You should take his opinion very seriously.
But anyway, my new columns are up now. Check them out on FantasySharks.com. But one of the things we were laughing about is, if you're a New York Jets fan, or if you're just living in the tri-state area around New York...
It's like deja vu all over again.
It's the same old Jets.
Jesus Christ.
It's the same old Jets. Geno Smith, the quarterback of the Jets, who was giving his last chance to prove that he's an NFL quarterback, Larry.
Yeah.
And the Jets did all they could to help him out. They got Brandon Marshall brought in as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
They have Eric Decker, possibly the fastest white receiver in the NFL on that team now. They have a good young tight end. They have a decent running game, good defense. And it looks like maybe, just maybe, the Jets can avoid the cellar this season.
Yeah.
Same old Jets. Some linebacker whose first name is so hard to pronounce, they just go by his first two initials, which is IK or Ick.
IK and Nemkapali or something
like that.
Whatever
the fuck his name is.
A 6-round pick
by the
Jets last year. Okay, well, Rex Ryan was still there, who plays a role in this, which is hilarious. Apparently, he paid $600 for an airline ticket for Geno Smith to go to Pflugerville, Texas, which is spelled with a P.
Nice.
It's PFL.
Nice.
In Miami, somebody in Geno Smith's family, died in a motorcycle accident, so he went there. He didn't go to this camp that the guy has in Pflugerville, and the guy paid $600, IK paid for his ticket, and Geno Smith went to Florida, and he didn't say anything to him, he didn't tell him, he came back, and this guy confronted him about it. Now, apparently at some point he did say, well, I'll give you the $600.
Yeah.
So, but now this guy confronts him the other day and says, look, I'm out $600. And apparently now we're hearing the story. Geno Smith literally like poked him, like, oh yeah, like, well yeah, maybe I won't pay you. Like he did like that, and the guy like just jacked him.
It was initially called a sucker punch, but I don't know if it was a sucker punch.
Yeah, but now they're
but that's a pretty goddamn good punch if you can break a guy's jaw in
two places
with one punch.
With one punch,
that's pretty damn impressive.
Unless Geno Smith has such a glass jaw that it just doesn't matter.
But the best part of all this is, so the Jets immediately cut the linebacker.
Yeah,
as they should when he breaks the jaw of the starting quarterback.
And you know what I don't understand? I heard this from other football players, especially on the NFL channel.
Yeah.
they always had McGinnis on and that white guy, the fullback who played for the Patriots.
Heath Evans.
Yeah. And they're talking about it. They said, look, as this argument began to escalate, he goes, how come the rest of the players didn't like step in and say, look, stop. And, you know, this is franchise quarterback, you know, calm down. Apparently, like, everybody just watched it like a TV show, like you're watching that riot show. And then, like, the guy just got mad and just clocked him.
Well, and I don't know how quickly it happened, but, I mean, it's really funny. But anyway, so the Jets cut this linebacker, they should, like an hour after the incident.
Right.
And guess who old IK went to for a job and was granted one?
Oh.
The Buffalo Bills. Rex Ryan, the former Jets coach, said, I'll take this kid on again.
Yeah.
Just to, like, stick it to his former team.
Just to give him a little tweak, a little pokey, a little kick in the ass. And the best part about it is he did the press conference. He goes, it was a very unfortunate incident. He shouldn't have hit him. But then he went right into, but he's got a lot of potential, and we're very happy to have him here. That guy's going to be crazy when they play the Jets twice a year.
Yeah,
but, of course, fantastic. Smith won't be out there.
Yeah, it'll
They're using crappy Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It'll be fantastic, let me tell you.
Who was awful last night.
Ryan Fitzpatrick,
They were just, and they look terrible. It's going to be just another horrible, and you know what the funny thing is? I'm very well known for goofing on the Jets, but it is amazing that every year it's the same, how can the same
franchises are just fucked. The Jets, the Browns.
The Cardinals, even though they played better the last couple of years. And they went to the Super Bowl they lost to the Steelers last play of the game.
I think the Cardinals have shaken it a little bit, but the Browns, the Jets, they're just like...
Jacksonville's a mess.
Jacksonville's a mess now. They weren't always a mess. But some, like you said, some teams just find trouble and they don't know how to get away from it.
Yeah.
The other thing with the Jets, Sheldon Richardson, one of their better defensive linemen, got suspended. Geez. And then he got arrested.
Resisting arrest.
It's like, oh my God. And he's like really one of the better young players.
Yeah.
Not just for the Jets, but in the NFL. But so the soap opera that is the Jets continues.
And one of their wide receivers got broken ribs and is missing weeks and weeks on the Jets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw that story too. It was one of their draft picks. He's out. So it's going to be another dopey season.
Yeah.
Definitely read John's articles. I mean, I do, and I'm in the fantasy league against them. So, in fact, you're looking at the champions for the past 3 years. Champ, right here. We're not
help me out. I can't do gang signs. My fingers don't actually. Allen, superstar. How does that work?
Okay, hold on. In your nose. But
We always laugh when we see pro football players flash gang signs, like as if making $10 million a year isn't enough to pull you out of the hood. You know, it's like
there was some story the other day also about Aaron Hernandez. He's just now he's like selling his house and he needs like every penny he can. He's gonna spend the rest of his life in jail. He's another fucking knucklehead. What are you doing? What are you doing? You've got the world by the balls. You just signed that contract. Remember back when he first got arrested, like 6 years, $45 million, like whatever. What are you thinking about? That it's important enough for you to kill some guy from, not the pros, what are they, semi-pros. I was like...
Hey, look, man, you apparently don't know anything about keeping it real.
I guess not. Keeping it real.
Yes.
Speaking of real.
Yes.
Today, John Kerry.
Yes.
Appeared in Cuba.
I love this.
And the flag went up at the embassy.
Yes.
And he said a couple of quick words.
Yes.
About the Cuban people need democracy and freedom and freedom of religion.
Yes.
And apparently, now this is the really funny thing. There was a really big turnout for it. But the one article I read said literally everybody in Cuba was watching.
Yeah.
Literally, or like in this country. Some people are paying attention, but that's only because I read all this shit.
They interrupted morning cartoons to televise it. Yeah. They said. By the way, I love the fact that Cuba is back on our trade list. I think the only way you get rid of communism without firing a shot is by exposing people to free trade and the benefits of capitalism. And the other thing I'm looking forward to, Cuban porn. You know this has got to be good, ladies and gentlemen. All these hot mamacitas...
Not enough that we're taking all their baseball.
Why? Because repressed people, like the Japanese after World War II, or the Germans after World War II.
Tension.
You ever watch a Japanese porn where they're shoving like live animals up chicks' asses? Or German Scheitze porn? What could possibly be in store for us that is so delicious after what? Almost 60 years of communist rule?
54 years of filth.
54 years of communist rule where the rich on Cuba get to drive a 54 Cadillac? The porn Larry that's going to be coming out of this hotspot is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
We may even get a steady live streaming of Blumpkins. Cuban Blumpkins probably are going to be the best.
I'm telling
while
you.
While smoking a nice Cuban cigar, taking a dump. Think of how regal you would be, Larry. On a Cuban toilet, smoking a nice Cuban cigar, while some repressed Cuban hoe smokes your Italian sausage in Cuba, in Havana. I heard stories from my dad before Cuba became communist that was the place to go. If you were on the East Coast of the U.S., you had to go on vacation.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
It was cheap. It was a good time. Beautiful women. Beautiful drink. Yeah. Beautiful weather.
Nightlife was better.
People were fantastic, you know? Yeah. And my dad is saying in like 56, you know, 55, around there. Hey, once every 2 or 3 years, he goes, even a working stiff like me could save up his money, take a flight down to Cuba, have a good week, and then come back.
Yeah.
Until Castro fucked it all up.
Yep.
We should have just sent the mafia down there.
they were down there. Well, I was about to make a Hyman Roth joke. they were. They got squeezed out too. Yeah. They were setting up casinos, and they were getting ready to turn that into a paradise as far as I'm concerned. But I will be going there.
Nice.
I will be going there. Actually, a friend of mine and I were going to go a few years ago.
For that Blumpkin.
You know, date and time. But this was still a few years ago when relations were still pretty bad.
Yeah.
And any travel group, you have to arrange through the State Department. And right before we were going, I'm not going to give the name of the organization because I know they do a good job, but they ran into some problems. They lost their agreement with the State Department. And then they were working on it, and they had to cancel our flight and give us a full refund.
Okay.
But I actually almost went there like 3 or 4 years ago.
You should go
and get
that Blumpkin now. That'd be fantastic.
And I know people have been there. And here's the thing. Cuba likes to brag about their healthcare system, and they like to brag about that they're the second most literate country in the whole world. It might actually be true. Okay. Here's the problem. I know somebody went there as liberal as can be in their worldview and said that all people do is, do you have any pens? Do you have any pencils? Do you have any socks? Do you have any shoelaces? Do you have any paper clips? Do you have any toilet paper? Do you have any toothbrushes? She said that people just kept asking for stuff because they don't have shit down there. And she said, that's everywhere. She goes, everywhere you go, can you lend me a buck? Doesn't matter if it's U.S., just anything. Like, you know, so these people, I think, are going to reap the benefits of the relationship with us. And it's going to help us, too.
Yeah,
it's gonna help us. So it's a whole new market. It's huge.
And that's my prediction. Porn will become the first multi-billion-dollar industry in Cuba to be exported. Not sugarcane, not rum, not even cigars.
I think they're really officially waiting to make any real moves. Yeah. They're just waiting for Fidel to buy it.
Yeah.
And then because Raul is a moron, but he realizes that what his brother has been doing for the past 50 whatever years, it's a loser, and he knows it, and he's probably just thinking of his country for the future, I assume. Because he really has no, I mean, there's really no reason for him not, why not just continue what your brother believed, if that's if you think that's right, why not just continue doing that? So.
And here's my final prediction. The newest sex position to come out of Cuba will be the Cuban sandwich, which would be a double penetration threesome.
Oh, wow.
Right? With two guys and a chick, and it will look as if it were a hot Cuban hero with mustard and pickles being involved.
You know what it's going to look like? Did you ever play Twister? It's going to look like that. You'll just be spinning the dial.
Just like cocks everywhere and pussy and just, you know, a whole bunch of debauchery.
I'm sure that's
donkey
why,
shows.
I'm sure that's why Kerry's down there doing all this.
Yeah. Perhaps. All right. Time to wrap up the show, but before we do that, we must hit the three elements of a successful video cast. Larry, number one.
Ass. Oh, wow.
Success factor number two.
Tits.
Titties. And of course, the bestest of all success factors.
Lesbians from Cuba.
Delicioso. All right. You have been watching episode 116 of The Riot. This has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry.
Until next week, peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning Blumpkins.